This will be my last episode I record. What is the best way to build cross-country time, Carson?
What should I expect during a discovery flight? How should I prepare for it? What kind of logbook setups or apps are best for organizing endorsements and training records?
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. This will be my last episode I record.
Ever?
No, not ever. Okay.
Just double checking.
For 6 weeks. Or 5 weeks.
Are you excited?
No, I'm actually going to miss doing this. Brings me happiness every time I see you, Carson. No, it doesn't, everybody.
It doesn't seem like that every time we have a phone call or on Teams or.
I said it's only the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about not doing it for 5 weeks. I'm going on my epic trip to Europe.
Trip of self-discovery, or are you going with someone?
No, I'm going with some people, so it's going to be fun.
That'll be fun.
Yes, it will be an absolute blast. And I get to meet with some of our banking partners, or at least hopefully future banking partners, on Monday in London.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That'll be so cool.
Maybe one day we can expand to Europe.
That would be really cool.
It would be really cool. It would give me a reason to have to go to Europe more often.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You've been to Europe a lot lately.
I went 6 months ago for 10 days, and now I want to go back, and I'm going for 28.
That's going to be a good trip.
And then I fly direct back home, not really home, direct to Oshkosh.
Yeah, you don't even stop back in California.
Not even coming home.
I'm going to clean your clothes.
No, I am going to clean my clothes. We've got Airbnbs booked a couple times along the way so I can do laundry and not have to take more than one suitcase, which is a big deal for me.
That's actually smart.
It is smart. Brandon's smart.
Brandon's very smart.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the last episode that Carson was not in, that we had our guest, Little Rex.
It sounded really fun.
It was fun.
I got to listen to it.
Yeah. I mean, it was just 11-year-old talking. It happens to be a blast. I mean, obviously, he was a little nervous.
Yeah. He was nervous, but he sounds a lot older than 11. Like, he sounds like, you know, holding himself really well.
Yeah. And he was able to say your part at the end.
I want to hear that.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
He had a little problem reading the word aviation, which I can understand why. Automagically, our producer is able to fix that after I told him how to say aviation.
Automagically.
It's Carson's trademarked word. You should look and see if you could trademark that. Automagically.com.
Yeah. Automagically.
Be careful. Somebody's going to buy it now that we've talked about it. All right, everybody. Well, we are going to take on some Reddit questions today. I don't know how many times we've done this, but it's really enjoyable. And I think this is some of the better episodes we've ever done. It allows us to really talk about aviation and lets us go on tangents, which we're really good at. So I think it'd be fantastic. I think the first question I want to talk about is, if you're a student pilot, is there a real value to joining a flight club or a flying club? What are your opinion, Carson?
I don't think so. You're basically renting a plane still. You still have to find your own instructor and bring your instructor, get that instructor checked out in the flying club. If the flying club doesn't have their own that they recommend that's actually in the club already. It's still expensive, but you're flying really nice planes, so I guess there is some value there.
Sometimes really nice planes.
Not every time, but typically you'll have nicer aircraft that you're flying. What do you think about that? You've been part of a flying club, right?
Actually, yes, I have. I was part of a flying club. Could fly a Cessna 162 in that flying club, which I flew one time and paid them for 3 years of dues.
Wow.
But
I want you to join my flying club.
I know. They did not require me to pay a big deposit. Most flying clubs, you have to buy in, whether it be $5, $10, $15, $20, sometimes $50 or $100,000 in flying clubs. Sometimes more than that. I know there's places that have flying clubs with Vision Jets, and those might actually be kind of cool if you got the extra money laying around. You don't want to go buy your own Vision Jet.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I don't think as a student pilot, there's a lot of value. I think that as a student pilot, you need structure. You need a flight school. You need somebody to teach you by a syllabi. Now, if you're going to some mom and pop flight school that has one or two airplanes and they kind of treat it like a flying club and that's all you have either of those options, then really doesn't matter. Go do whatever one's cheaper and has nicer planes. And you've got, hey, they don't even have to pick the nicer planes. Just pick who you get along with the best. Who do you vibe with in the airplane?
Because you're going to be stuck shoulder to shoulder with that person for many hours.
Many, many hours. Literally. Very close.
Way closer than Brian and I.
Yeah, thank God. So I really don't think there's much value.
I think the value really comes when you're doing time building or just renting for fun. That's when it's a nicer experience. Time building and if you're splitting time with someone, that makes sense.
I would agree. Speaking of splitting time, what is the best way to build cross-country time, Carson, without breaking the bank? You like how I did that nice transition?
That was really great. Yeah. Splitting time. That's the answer. Yeah. I mean, splitting time, it just makes sense. You and another pilot both need time doing time building for some rating, some purpose. And you can split the cost of the aircraft legally, split the cost of the aircraft and both log time. It makes a lot of sense, especially on a longer flight. Again, make sure that you actually vibe with that person because you're going to be shoulder to shoulder and you want to do it again.
Well, you got to remember one person gets to log the PIC, one person gets to log the cross-country time. Both of you get to log the total time, which is really, really important
because
you both need total time, right? So you may go fly 100 hours. You might get 50 cross country each and 50 PIC each, but now you've met all your requirements for your instrument rating and you've gotten a lot of extra hours for your commercial pilot certificate. Now, there's some schools that don't allow you to do that and you got to fly with an instructor the entire time or different things. It depends on the program and how it's set up, which is okay. But there are ways to reduce that cost. So if you're not going to one of those types of programs, then you can definitely save time and, more importantly, save money by doing that.
I agree.
Yep.
I got another good question for you. There's one on the list that I want to ask. What should I expect during a discovery flight? And how should I prepare for it?
Ooh, that's a good question, actually. You should probably, if you've never been in a small airplane, don't go eat a big meal right before. Just have something light. You don't want to be
just in case
famished.
Your body doesn't love it.
Make sure that you've talked to the flight instructor and you feel comfortable with them. When you get to the airplane, just know that that instructor is the pilot in command. They know what they're looking for. You do not. So if you see a little tear in the seat, it's probably not a big deal.
Or see a little sticker that says INOP and up.
Yeah. Later on in your life, you can understand what INOP means. And
how it's not important if there's a sticker on it and the plane's still flying.
And the flight instructor or the PIC has verified that the INOP sticker is just not a sticker and there's actually been deactivated. And also there's a logbook entry. So there's some more caveats to that, by the way.
As long as it's not on the propeller, you're fine.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. So you should expect to just trust people and get comfortable. Don't eat too much. And then I would also say, expect to fly the airplane. That's what you're there for. Depending on the level of instructor, for me, every demo flight I would take on, I let them take off.
That's cool.
It was fantastic. I let them take off. Now, I made sure they knew. If I said my controls, I made them do this exercise of they have their hands on the control wheel and they have to move their hands and feet off. And I would test them 3 times on the way to the run-up area or in the run-up area just before we take off. And if they didn't do it, during a time where they weren't expecting it, they did not get to take off. But if they did every time, I would let them take off. And as long as they listened to me, there'd be no problems, right? Yep. Because now I just got them excited about certain things and they were able to let go of the controls and I was able to control the airplane. So I would let people take off, but most instructors won't do that unless they're kind of old codgers or they've been flying for a long time or they're really comfortable being a flight instructor. Maybe I would be all of those. I'm not really sure.
Well, a little bit of each.
A little bit of each, yeah. And then after you take off, normally you'll turn left or crosswind or right crosswind. You'll go somewhere, right? And you'll go to a practice area. And once you get up to, say, 3,500 AGL or something, then the instructor is going to hand you the airplane. And they're going to talk you through what it's like to have the hands on the controls. And me, I'll just hand the controls to them. And normally they can almost do whatever they want, as long as they're listening to me, of course. Some instructors will be like, hands are right near the control wheel the entire time and they just are stressed out. And those typically aren't the best instructors, but they're normally new instructors. So I understand it.
Well, I'm just thinking about it. I took up my family and I've let them all take control.
Yeah, but you knew you had to talk to them first and explain to them.
I understand. Not some stranger you're letting fly your plane.
Exactly. Okay. I mean, you've had probably a bunch of conversations about what my controls, your controls, my controls sounds like. You've had a lot of conversations talking about flying.
They heard about every flight lesson I had.
Yeah, so that too. So there's a little bit more to that, right? Yeah. So then, and then you should expect you not to land the airplane. The instructor will land the airplane. I have never let somebody land the airplane. I have one person who did an immense amount of flight simulator, like growing up.
I remember, yeah.
He probably had like 2,000 hours of flight sim time. Now, he had a bunch of terrible habits that he had to break, but he also...
Like walking away from the cockpit? Or? Yeah,
probably. But he actually could fly an airplane pretty well. It was insane. He knew when to put in flaps. He knew how to read all the gauges. He knew all the stuff. And I near let him land the airplane.
I remember you came in and you were telling everyone about it.
Yeah.
It was just,
this kid was a future pilot prodigy. Yeah,
it's incredible.
And unfortunately, he wasn't going to be my student. I was going to take him on personally as my student because I wanted this easy student. It was going to be awesome. and he was going to a collegiate program in a out of state somewhere. Oh, and doing
good for him.
Yeah. By now, he's probably graduated.
He's probably a pilot.
He's probably a pilot somewhere. Yeah, working. If not, he's at least a flight instructor somewhere. But that was cool.
Have you ever thought about taking a Discovery flight as a pilot?
I have. I've thought about just messing with somebody. I feel like it's so crossed much.
Every pilot's mind, right? To like go, that'd be fun.
It would be really fun and be like, oh, how do I do this? You know, that'd be an interesting way to like test to see if a flight school is like a good flight school or not. And then I could recommend them to my friends. That would be interesting.
That would be a lot of fun.
It would be a ton of fun.
You just start doing stalls or you put them in a spin or do something.
No, I wouldn't put them terrify into a spin. Them? Yeah.
Okay. You'd be a good student.
No, I would just, I don't know.
How would you mess with them?
I don't know.
I would not get invited to come back.
I would definitely not be invited to come back. Not that I would do anything unsafe. I would ask all sorts of questions. Like every dumb, well, not dumb, because I like I say, there's no such thing as a dumb question because after you ask it, you're smart now. But I would ask every question that like a student ask. And what does this do? What does that do? Oh, if I turn this here, can I just hold it? Can I do this? What if I put in the power all the way? I would ask all these questions the entire time and just like drain them. And then when we get up there, I would be like, oh, I heard we can do what's called a steep turn. And then I would have them show me how to do a steep turn.
Then you're going
to
do a perfect one.
And then I'll just like, so you turn it here and then you do this and you put it at this and you just let go. And then I would just stare at them while I'm doing this perfect steep turn all around.
That would be the clue.
I would probably do that at the end.
Yeah, that'd be the clue.
Yeah, it would be the clue.
That'd be a lot of fun. I'm thinking of something crazy. I'd be like, I'd start just like inching my hand towards that little red knob until it, you know, they smack it away or freaked out. I just like slowly pull out the mixture. Yeah, that'd be funny.
I would not slowly pull out the mixture. You know what time it is, Carson?
Time
is
it, Brandon?
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
Well, speaking of being a safe student and really knowing yourself, how do I evaluate whether I'm progressing fast enough in my flight training?
Are you passing this one's an easy one. Are you passing your lessons in the syllabus?
What if the school doesn't use a syllabus?
Then you need to pick a new school.
Really?
Really.
Why do you think syllabi are so important?
Because it gives structure to your training and you're not just out there willy-nilly learning anything. You're actually spending time trying to figure out what is the next step. You're building upon skills that will build upon other skills that build upon the final result, which is the ACS knowledge and the check ride. You can't learn how to land an airplane unless you know what a power on or a power off stall is. I mean, you can, but not really know. Maybe like rote memory, you can understand why. You can't really fully understand it. Like if you don't know the reverse region of command, and I know that is a really hot topic among a lot of people nowadays, but if you don't know that power for altitude and pitch for airspeed on landing or slow flight and stalls is how you land an airplane or how you get in or out of a stall by exceeding the angle of attack, then you might not be able to get it to a proficiency level that is acceptable to the FAA or the ACS standards.
Got it. So since the syllabi are, you know, set up in a way that you build on top of knowledge, right? I mean, just like any kind of checklist or book like that would be. Is there one syllabi that's better than another?
No, they all.
I mean, I'm sure you have personal preference or something like that.
I think everybody has a personal preference.
I mean, do they all do the same job?
They all do the same job. They get you to a pilot certificate.
Okay.
So, I mean, I really liked Gleim personally, but I've used Jeppesen. I learned on a Jeppesen syllabus. When I got my private, I used Jeppesen syllabus. King Schools has a fantastic syllabus. We are partners with King Schools, by the way.
Is that a biased response or have you used that one?
No, I have not used King Schools.
But you've looked, well, you've looked at all of them.
I've looked at all of them over time, but I never picked them because I wasn't a Cessna school back then. So I didn't go with them per se for that reason.
Interesting. I was wondering how you picked it.
Yeah. Well, also Gleim had this 141 tool that helped me when I was going for my 141 certificate. So I kind of felt like an obligation to go with them because they helped me get my 141 certificate. They talked me through it.
Oh, it's cool.
Yeah, it was neat. So that's why I picked them. I wouldn't say that they have the best. They might have the best. I'm not sure.
I used it for my private.
Yeah, but they're good and they're easy to use and easy to understand. And I see the people at Gleim at all the trade shows and they all know me now. And I first met them when I started using their syllabus. So I'm a big fan. But besides that, I know that Jeppesen does one. I know that some schools make their own, and that might be specialized for their type of aircraft that they fly. So that might actually be better. And then, like I said, the King Schools one is a really popular one a lot of people use today. So outside of that, I want to hit one more.
What kind of logbook setups or apps are best for organizing endorsements and training records?
All right. I'm going to have probably a very different answer than you do, but I'm not positive about that. My answer is, I really like paper logbooks. I really wish I started with the 4Flight version of my logbook. But now I have so many logs that it would take me forever to put them in. I know some people, they put like 50 in a night and they just do it over like 2 months or 3 months. And that just sounds miserable to me. So I don't really want to do that. But I started off with a Gleim logbook, actually. I was using Jeppesen. Yes. Can you have AI do it? I don't know, Carson.
I was just
thinking, all you're thinking.
How do you know that?
I could tell by your face. I wonder if AI could do it. If AI could do it, maybe
we have thinking you could take a screenshot or a picture or a scan of every page, upload it, have operator, ChatGPT operator, log into your 4Flight account and just start logging them for you.
I have all the pictures of my entire logbook if you want to test me on it.
Okay. That'd be cool.
Let's try it.
There's a reason I'm ahead of technology.
I know. Exactly. I knew exactly what you were thinking as
funny.
I was saying
that was it. So funny that you, we spent too much time together.
Yeah. And you were working on AI stuff all day. But besides that, I started off with my Gleim little black, logbook, and it was a fantastic logbook and it was great for when I was a student but it wasn't great for being a professional pilot. So I would say that if you want to become a professional pilot and you like the paper logbook, like I do, I picked this Jeppesen logbook and it has lots of fields because I fly all sorts of different types of airplanes and you can log everything in it.
That's the big brown one with the green pages?
Big brown one with the green pages, exactly. I think they might start selling it with different colored pages, white pages now, but it had green pages forever. You can even buy green ink just in case you mess up on it. Yeah, serious.
I didn't think about that because I have the little black, I think it's the Gleim one.
It's a Gleim one, yeah.
Oh yeah, I got the 141 kit. Yeah, it came with that one. But then I lost my logbook, so.
What?
I'm just messing with you.
Oh, geez, that would be horrible.
Oh, I would have freaked out way before this.
But what I will say is all the logbooks you ever buy or use, do not trust their endorsements or training record section. Do not trust them because you need to go and look up 6165. It used to be hotel. I think it's 6165 Juliet now. That's the advisory circular that tells you exactly how your endorsements need to be spelled out verbatim. Word by word, letter by letter, space by space. They need to be that way. Otherwise, some DPs will not accept it, even if there's one letter off or you misspelled something. And that's kind of being a, you know what, but you get the point across. As long as the regulations are pointed out, it should be okay, but that's not how it is. So you need to make sure that's verbatim, perfectly written based on that. And I will tell you, most of the logbooks are printed years in advance or they just printed in bulk. And when things change, they don't change the logbooks and they're not perfect, or they just didn't care about it because 20 years ago, FAA maybe wasn't as strict about the wording on certain things.
I don't think the FAA is as strict as you are with that. Like that is your hill to die on.
Oh, I die on that hill all the time because yeah. I've met DPEs that are just complete mean people. And when it comes to logbook entries and stuff. So I just made it so it is foolproof. They can never be mean to my people because they're always going to be perfect.
It makes sense.
Does make sense.
You're really particular about it.
I am. So what do you use? You use paper logbook or have you digitized?
No, I tried digitizing. I did two of them. I hated it. And I can never get into it. But I do have a question. Because I know with the two I did, it was more than two. I think it was like 50. But
that's almost your whole logbook.
Not my logbook. No, I have lots of little flights.
Okay.
You know how many times I went from Riverside to Redlands to drop off planes and move stuff around?
Oh, that's true.
He was not paid for that.
He actually had to pay for it.
I know. I had to clock out. I was like, well, you can drive and stay clocked in, or you can fly and clock out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll clock out. Yeah, I needed the hours. I needed the time. But anyway, do you have to have the instructor endorse every single one digitally to make it count for instruction? Or can you just write it?
The FAA has changed their way that they look at digital signatures as of lately. And I've actually argued with them a little bit on this as well, in a nice, respectful way.
You love to argue with the FAA.
I don't love to argue with the FAA. I just don't like when different FISDOs tell me different things and different DPEs tell me different things. I want everybody to be cohesive and on the right.
Like, you'd think we have a book that makes us cohesive, but
yeah, not the case. Yeah, 8901 is the FAA's Bible, and they don't even, they try to go about it correctly, but they don't. George Bush, number two president, actually signed an order that allowed digital signatures to be valid.
And he was the one that did that?
He was the one who did it.
Interesting. And
were you even born? Barely. Second term. So he was the one who signed that. I don't know what year he signed it, but he signed that and it made digital signatures legal. FAA did not accept digital signatures on a lot of things for a long time. Now they are accepting it. They wouldn't even accept digital signatures from certain digital document people for a while. Like DocuSign, they wouldn't allow. They made it, you had to sign through like a verifiable document software like Adobe Acrobat with embedded keys. It was really weird. It was so hard to use. Same thing for their WebOps system. That's still how it's used today, by the way. You have to have these special keys installed. But besides all of that, you're able to digitally sign most logbook endorsements now. And I believe that all DPs should accept them. Although I hand signed all of them and I would only digitally sign one if there happened to be a problem or something that somebody needed an endorsement or their endorsement like missed a digit and it was just an honest mistake and they miswrote a number or something. And DPEs have accepted digital signatures in those cases for sure for me. So I think that you can get digital signatures. That's my long story long for you on that.
You know, I hope that budget we're talking about a few months ago with the Trump's modernization of the FAA, hopefully I can get them DocuSign.
I hope so.
I hope so. But I think...
Well, if the president can use an auto pen...
yeah, then, you would then, think, right?
We should be able to digitally sign things. Yeah.
Just DocuSign. That's all I'm asking for. But I think, if you're using a digital logbook, I think it's better to have a paper copy initially and use the digital as backup.
Yeah.
Just in case. I mean, I would rather not rely on just one or the other. I'd rather have both.
And I like taking pictures of my logbook just in case it disappears.
I think I've left pictures
stolen out of a car.
Of Hobbs and Tack times that I can recreate my logbook if I had to.
That's hilarious. I wouldn't doubt that.
I think most people could.
All right. Well, we're coming down to the end of the time. So thank you all for listening or watching us today. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us on emails, Brian@aviationmentors.com, Carson@aviationmentors.com, producer@aviationmentors.com, or please reach out to us on LinkedIn under Carson Vasquez or the one and only Brandon Martini. There is none of us out there besides one Brandon Martini on there.
Only one Carson Vasquez.
Are you sure? We'll have to look into this.
Pretty sure.
But don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, share, all the things you're supposed to do on wonderful social media and on YouTube. It helps us grow the aviation community and our podcast, and we really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, we do. And as we wrap up for the day, remember, we're here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See you.